Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Love it. All right. Good morning to you. Well, there's one other thing you can do. Well, there's two things you can do. One is not have Rojas bat. And two is make sure you make the right pick with the third pick tonight. So in conclusion from last segment, Philly Sports on the third pick passed on Mike Mussina, Dale Murphy, Gary Carter, John Hanna, Mitch Richmond, Kevin Garnett, Nikola Jokic, and Devin Booker, amongst others. Just saying. Especially some of those baseball ones, man.
Yeah, I'm just glad you didn't do worst overall, second overall pick, bus. I'm glad you didn't go there, Joe. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
You're a good man, Ben Davis. You are a good man. All right, 215-592-9494 on draft day and also reaction to the Phils last night.
So I was texting with Billy King, who gave me, was throwing out all the third, you know, number three picks.
In hoops?
In hoops, yeah. Yeah. So you got Harden, Mikal, yeah. Bob Cousy, Paul Gasol, Pistol Pete.
That's pretty cool.
And you had asked me the question. I had to look it up. Who got drafted in front of him?
Yeah.
Bob Lanier and Rudy Tomjanovich.
Wow. Well, Rudy T certainly was not the right pick.
No.
To say the least.
You got Penny Hardaway, Carmelo, Grant Hill. You know, and yeah. As you pointed out.
So Penny and Grant may have been the best players for career if they hadn't gotten injured.
Yeah, the injury, especially
both
Grant Hill.
Were really, really amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. Penny, yeah. I think Penny was amazing. I don't know if he would have been better than Shaq, though.
No, he wasn't the same year as the Weber pick.
Oh, it's the Weber. I'm an idiot. Yep.
So, all right, 215-592-9494. Let's give you an update on Bryce Harper as it was laid out last night by Dave Dombrowski pregame. First, a Harper update, then we'll get to Nola. Here's what Dombrowski said on Harper.
Well, he is making progress. He is getting closer. We kept him back last road trip. It was just a short trip, so he was able to do the work that he needed to. He's starting to progress now. We're leaving, doing some T work and throwing. It comes down, this is an unusual one in that the doctors have cleared him as far as progress is concerned. So now it's more a matter of pain tolerance once he builds up and how he feels. So really nobody knows that answer. The feeling is that he should be fine as he progresses. I don't know the exact number of days we're talking about. That's where the unusual part is too, because if he continues to progress and doesn't have a great deal of pain, then he can move forward and just get his timing back. Of course, if he does have pain, which we're not anticipating, then you have to take it slower at that time. So I don't really have an exact time frame, but everything is progressing in a positive fashion.
So like a lot of the answers around Bryce with his recovery, there's some good in the answers and some bad. Like one of the things that's good that Dombrowski says is we don't anticipate him having pain, but I feel like, but you do. Like that's why he's slow pedaling it so much, right?
Well, you don't anticipate him having pain, but it's a chronic issue that seems to
be pain
lingering.
Tolerance.
So he wakes up and again it's lingering. So it's not, you know, it's delaying things again. But then my experience from the chronic stuff, the tendonitis is, you know, the pre-patellar tendonitis in your knees or the Achilles tendonitis that, oh my gosh, it feels like it lasts forever. But then after 2 years, miraculously, just as soon as it came on, it vanishes. It really is. Like this chronic stuff, when it's an
everyday
thing.
But vanishes from what? From not playing? From resting?
Yeah, from rest. The rest, ice, elevation, you know, the swelling.
Right.
You get the swelling out. That's the biggest thing toward recovering. But you also just have to give it the rest that it needs.
Is it fair to say, John,
requires not playing anything?
Is it fair to say sometimes it vanishes and sometimes it does not?
Yes.
Like a guy like Chase Utley, I would guess he probably was always playing with some. He just was never the same player again. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Ben, no, he definitely was.
It was
not
in his knees. It
can linger.
Yes. I mean, look at Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Guys, let's remember this. When Joel played last year, when he played, other than a couple moments, he was not nearly the same effective player. No.
When I came to Philadelphia, I had to put those Chopat straps around my knees for every practice, for every day I did anything. That includes like off-season working out. If we're out on the field, I'm putting those like neoprene straps around my knees because it like pulls your patellar tendon and it makes it feel a little bit less stress when you've got tendonitis in there. You know, I had Achilles tendonitis to where I was trying to tape my ankles without the Achilles part being taped, or at least the trainer, the athletic trainers would leave your Achilles open because you had tendonitis. Like at a certain point for me personally, everything started getting tendonitis. My wrists, it felt like, oh my gosh, I got to tape my wrists every day because I can't bend them anymore during the season. It's just like things wear out.
Well,
and the only thing you can do is rest it and hope it gets better. And during the time that you're resting it, you're icing it as much as possible.
Yeah, this seems to me, and I could be way off on this, I don't want to speculate, but this could be one of those injuries that it only hurts when you do certain things. Like the only time his wrist hurts is when he swings a bat.
Yeah.
And that could be alarming. Yeah, you know, absolutely. That we all have those injuries in the past that it only hurts when I do this. And then you say, well, don't do that.
Right.
And then you say, well, it only hurt this.
That's playing baseball.
But that's what he does. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I'm worried about
it. So, Devin, when you're down there and you're there for most of the Phillies' home games, how often do you see Bryce around?
Every time I'm down there, he's very much around. And he spoke on Friday before the Mets series. He spoke with media. And I found his answers, like, you know, both he and Rob Thompson have you know, updated the progress that he's making. You know, he's taking grounders. He's doing the warm-up, the pregame work, the batting practice now. He's hitting off a tee then.
Yeah.
But what concerned me...
And that number's
me,
increasing, right? Like, the number, it used to be,
I guess,
40, then 45, then 50. It feels like it's more numerous, the number of swings.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. They're, like, treating it like a pitcher is, like, increasing his pitch count. But, what concerned me was he basically said, like, we don't know what it is. We've gotten sporadic and different answers from different doctors. So, like, this means that they're going to different doctors and consulting them, seeing what answers they're getting.
Yeah.
And to me, that just shows, like, okay, so you don't really know what this issue is. And then someone asked, well, what happens if it goes away and then comes back? And he said, I don't know. Like, it just feels like a very unknown situation. I think Dombrowski, like you just pointed out, Joe, in his interview last night or whenever that was, I think that was in Houston, where he said, you know, he's not in pain or something along those lines. I think he's saying that to kind of like not start, you know, panic in fans saying, oh my gosh, Bryce Harper might be cut
for
the season.
You know, and the grander issue is also just the rest of the contract and career. You don't want him to be, and look, I love Bryce Harper. You don't want it, and I love Ken Griffey. I mean, I wasn't a fan of his teams, but Griffey was a player that reached a certain age, and just you got declining results the rest of the way. By the way, the Phillies are, I'm sure no one else knows this, the Phillies are three games away from the halfway point of Bryce Harper's contract. So it was just what it's worth. Let me frame this. It was a 13-year deal. He's played six prior years in three games. They're at the halfway point of the season. This will be 6.5 years into a 13-year deal in 3 days.
We used to...
So frame that in your head when you think about the injury.
This is something that I hadn't ever thought about, and I don't know much about, you know, I had Mormon teammates. I know that that's something... I don't know how that factors into taking like anti-inflammatories and things like that. I know that sometimes guys didn't want to mess with some of that.
Sure.
You know, like even Advil, Mormon teammates that I played with.
Wow.
So this is like something that I hadn't ever thought about with Bryce.
Give that question to Devin to ask.
No, so but Bryce. It's true. I mean, he's a Mormon. He talked about it, you know?
You get older and stuff starts hurting more and you got chronic stuff, if he does have, you know, feelings about taking, like, anti-inflammatories. Like, I don't know if that factors into this.
I have
this.
No clue.
Does that make it harder to manage some of these ongoing things?
Go down there and ask him, John.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to one more injury update and then right back to the phone. So we also got a NOLA update last night from Dave Dombrowski. Doesn't strike me like he's going to pitch anytime soon. Here's Dombrowski last night.
Well, he will rejoin it sometime after the All-Star break. I don't have a specific time frame on that, too. He is throwing. He is now throwing. Today, I think, was the first day he was actually going to go out there and play catch. And he said, I just saw him when he was coming in. He said he felt good. So then he's almost in a spring training mode, though, at this point. So it's a lengthy period for a starting pitcher to get ready. That's the difference. If you got a bullpen guy, you can get him ready pretty quickly. So you're really talking about a good month process of building up. So at this point, you're definitely talking after the All-Star game. And it could even be a little bit longer than that.
You know, when he says All-Star game, could be a little bit longer. All-Star game's in 3 weeks. You know, it's second week of July, basically. So I would guess this is like late July. Just a guess.
I'd guess August, even.
Yeah, I was about to say at the earliest. Yeah, late July at the earliest. Let's go to JB in Chestnut Hill. JB, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, JB?
What's up, Johnny? I think the more I'd caught the tail end of that about Bryce and medicine, I think he's a modern day Mormon. That's kind of an old school thing for them not taking.
Is it? Like, yeah, no, yeah, I have no idea. I know that that's stuff that, you know, you just don't really know for sure. Just a factor that I hadn't considered.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a part of it. I think he needs to be shut down and kept out until as long as he needs to be. This part of the schedule is like the amen corner of the Philly schedule for the season. This is 11, 12, and 13. This is the toughest part of the schedule. Leave them out. Let the chips fall where they may. Get them back healthy. Then you're going to get Nola back healthy. Reboot, because we know the Mets and the Braves are just going up and down and back and forth. I don't think they'll be out of anything when this is all said and done. And you go in hot with hopefully a healthy Bryce and hopefully something of a Nola coming back. And then you take on the end of July.
Well, yeah, I think that's – I mean, JB, I think what you're saying is what they're doing. I mean, they're clearly not rushing either player back. And I think
they're not giving any real answer.
Yeah. No, and look, it's not the end of the world that the Phillies lost that game last night. I will say, watching it while they were struggling to score and ultimately scored none, I did think this is the kind of – and especially thought this at the end of the game – this is the kind of game they may have won if Bryce Harper had played. He could have made the difference in that game – to get one or two runs on the board to win the game.
Especially in those first six innings.
Yeah, because you had guys on.
They had Framber on the – I mean, he was walking guys.
There's no question.
There were errors. There were chances.
There's no question. And then the trickle-down effect of just having lesser players in the starting lineup and having them deeper in the batting order. Because what was it, 6, 7, 8, 9 last night? It was
– it was Kemp –
at the end, it was Kemp, Sosa, Kennedy, Rojas.
Kennedy and Rojas. I mean, that was, and to have those four guys bat in the ninth, that was tough, man.
You know, when Hader put his glove up to his mouth, he was laughing.
Well, I was not. No. JB, give me a big answer, pal, for a scene with a real-life spot in it.
Before I do, I think the rest of the lineup has to actually help. To hold one player accountable at the end of the game is kind of tough. That bottom that you just talked about, I think they were like 2 for 16. Today.
Yeah, it was brutal.
It's bad. How about Sean Connery and Nick Cage, The Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Alcatraz.
Well, okay, give me the scene.
You can use the scene where the explosives roll off the rock.
Okay, welcome to The Rock.
No, you're saying the thing where he's got to save those things from falling over the edge, and if they do, then everyone's...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Gonna die, that thing?
Correct.
Yep. Okay. No, I remember that scene. Yeah, that's
good speed, Godspeed.
That's pretty good.
Last time I swam this channel, I was your age.
Wow.
Holy cow, Ben.
That is awesome.
Well done, Ben.
I didn't know you had that in you.
Connery in your bag.
That's a Ben Connery doppelganger sound.
I'm impressed.
Dead on.
That was strong.
I'm very impressed.
Can, can you do more than just The Rock, Sean Connery? Can you like just freelance?
I could do the Jeopardy Saturday Night Live.
Oh, those are the best. That's my favorite, Connery. We Swords is an S-word.
Tremendous.
We watch those in the newsroom all the time.
I think that's the funniest SNL bit of all time.
It's the best. It is one of the, it is certainly one of the best.
I don't know how Will Ferrell keeps a straight face with those guys. It's just so
funny. Your mother, Trebek.
They're the funniest ones.
The Swords thing is great.
Swords thing is all time. Yeah.
We go to Rob in South Jersey. Rob, good morning.
Joe, what's going on, man?
Quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for the draft tonight. You know, I'm not going to – NBA is probably my number four sport. Mm-hmm. But I think trading back and getting a player that can help them now because of how much money they have tied up in these guys. And if you don't, you know, you kind of reset the button here and Sixers are kind of irrelevant.
Rob, guess what I'm doing?
What's that?
Resetting the button.
Eh.
And by the way, that doesn't mean trade everyone you have because I don't think you can. But my point is I'm drafting for
the button.
Meaning I'm drafting for the future. I'm drafting for the future. I'm not drafting to try to chase a title with a guy who I don't trust to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think Daryl Morey wants to chase the title. So
I do too. My guess is Morey is going to try to chase the title. That's my guess.
Yeah. I wanted to call him about last night.
I feel like you got to. I feel like if those guys are going to try this year, if Joel and Paul are going to try,
yeah, but John,
you got to try with them.
But Embiid has to actually be able to play.
That's the pathetic state of the NBA.
Yeah, but it's not just about Embiid trying. It's him being physically capable. I think
right.
he tried last year.
Well,
he
that's just, part of it, too.
I just don't think he can answer the bell anymore. I really don't. I hope I'm wrong. It's just my opinion. I don't think he can answer the bell.
Joe, getting to the fills, I think you probably used the best word about last night's game. It was irritating.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's not going to hurt them. You know, they're fine. They've been playing well the last couple of weeks. I mean, but to waste a gem against a good team from Ranger like that is irritating. And hey, listen, when it's 105 degrees in this area and people work hard and they get home and watch their fills, nobody wants to see Buddy Kennedy and Johan Rojas in the lineup. With all due respect to them, to quote Clint Eastwood in that movie, get off my team, please. I don't want to see these guys anymore. And it speaks volumes of what Thompson thinks of Stott and Martian Kepler, that they did not get a chance in the ninth inning.
Well, Rob, I agree with you on that. But Rob, there also are facts. I'm going to give you two. One of them, Stott against a left-handed pitcher has a lower batting average than Rojas.
That's fine.
Fact two, Kepler against a left-handed pitcher, lower batting average than Rojas. I mean, they weren't great options. I would have used one of them, but let's not act like he was bringing in a great option if he does. He was not.
Here's the thing. In the top of the second, they had first and second, nobody out for Kennedy. I was thinking he's going to stack bunt here. Valdez is a good pitcher. Runs are going to come at a premium. He didn't do it because he knows second and third with one out with Rojas. Rojas can't do the job. It's horrible managing. I'm sorry, but it is.
All right, Rob, give me an answer for a scene with a spot.
Real quick, the last thing I want to say about the deadline, we got to get the hashtag hungry like the wolf Duran going. I want Jaren Duran from the Red Sox and Johan
yes.
Duran from
oh,
the
I like
Twins.
That. Yes. That's pretty good, actually.
Great idea.
It's very good.
And then add the music
Duran from the Doran or whatever from the Twins will cost a lot. He's really, really good. One of the better relievers in the sport.
But, Rob, I like your creativity
Duran,
there.
Duran.
All right, give me a great scene with a location that's central to the scene, Rob.
How about, I can't believe nobody said this, King Kong in the Empire State Building.
Been waiting for it all show.
That's a big one. Sir. Holy
wow.
cow.
That certainly could
the
win.
Doran, Duran, and King Kong all rolled into one call. Nice job.
That's a very nice job. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Let's close them out. Both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, so what we were just talking about there, end of the game, and Rojas earlier in the game, and all the Rojas stuff. So we have this poll question related to that final at-bat and what bothered you the most with that at-bat. So the four choices were Dombrowski's bench stinks. Choice B was Topper not pinch-hitting Rojas. C was that Rojas chose to swing at a 2-0 pitch. And D was that Topper let him swing at a 2-0 pitch, didn't give him a take sign. All right, John, you know this is going to be a tough one today because just amongst us six, we had different answers.
Yes.
I mean, we actually touched all four bases. Which one do you think won the poll amongst the people?
I think it's B, Hopper.
It is not. It is Rojas swinging at the pitch. Not Rojas knowing not to. So Rojas swing.
Did he not know?
Yeah, he's just a confident.
He just couldn't.
He's a confident guy. He just went. I remember hearing a quote from him last year about his belief in himself as a hitter, and I'm like, dude, like you're not Ricky Henderson. You're Johan Rojas.
Again, though, his manager might have believed that he should swing there if it's a good pitch.
He might have.
Yeah. And again, I get that. Like, if you're facing Hader right. in that spot, 2-0, like...
I don't get it.
I don't trust
him
to walk him. I get it. I just don't trust him to walk him. I think he'll challenge him at 3-0 and he'll beat him.
I literally believe the Phillies' best chance to win the game, I swear to God, would be if Rojas made the decision at 2-0 that he, under no circumstance, would swing at a pitch.
I think he would have struck out. Hader's awesome,
He
man.
May have, he may not. If he didn't swing at the third pitch, it would have likely been called a ball. Now it's 3-0.
And I think Hader still would have struck him out.
Maybe. Probably not. All right, so
probably.
John. No, at 3-0, probably not.
Probably. Dude, no. Hader is still way better than him. At 3-0, it doesn't matter. It's a hitter's count. It doesn't really mean he wins the count.
You're not going to convince me that it's more likely that Hader would throw three strikes than one ball. You're not going to convince me of that. I mean, if
okay, I think it's true. Okay. I mean, against Rojas, he's not going to challenge Rojas in that spot.
All right, so John, here's the results. Rojas swinging 2-0 is 35%. Topper not taking Rojas out of the game is 33%.
Oh.
Dombrowski's bench stinks is 20%. And Topper letting him swing is 12%. They're all meaty answers. You know, there's meaning behind all of them. And the confluence created a bad moment. All right, second poll question. If the Sixers draft a guard tonight, who do you think is more likely to be traded before the season starts? Rhea, would you go with Maxey or McCain more likely to be shipped out?
McCain.
And what's your reasoning?
Chase
the title? Maxey gives you a better chance in the here and now? Which he does, by the way.
I just think, you don't know how McCain's going to come off. You know, we're all expecting, he's just going to be fine from a knee injury. I don't trust that until I see people playing. So, I don't know.
I'm very torn on this one. Devin, who do you think is more likely to be dealt? Maxey or McCain if they draft a guard?
Neither, but if I had to choose between the two, I'd say Maxey.
Is McCain
like McCain was like the team representative at the lottery. Like he's been, I just don't think that they would push him out there as the
rookie face that they know they can force to do stuff because he's the young guy who's also played and he doesn't have the cachet to say, no, I don't want to go do that.
Yeah.
I do think that teams love when they got the young guy.
Well, they
who
do
plays.
Love that. But Maxey also serves a lot of that role as well.
He does, I mean, they do love him.
He's a get along well guy.
And let's
too,
be honest, this is the organization that built an entire promotional campaign around Michael Carter Williams and traded him.
Is it crazy to say that I think McCain has more long term upside than Maxey?
It's possible.
I'd have to.
No, I don't think it's crazy.
No,
I don't think it's crazy at all.
I love
Devin. I got to see him play more.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
Max, he's a great shooter, man. Disappointing.
A reconstruction, right? Look, I mean, this is major. Yeah.
You talking about McCain?
Yeah, McCain.
I thought it was a meniscus, right?
Didn't he tear his ACL?
No, it wasn't an ACL.
It was
a meniscus or something. Yeah. It was not ACL for sure.
In this case, in basketball, guys, the meniscus.
Oh, well, look, it's killing Embiid's career.
Remember, who was it? Rose
Joel?
In Chicago?
Right.
Holy cow, that was meniscus.
That was an ACL.
That was all of it.
He tore everything.
Meniscus, ACL, it was all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
But the problem for him was meniscal. Remember, he tried coming back, and it was meniscal, and it's a different story.
They shaved it away and shaved it away and shaved it away, and then next thing you know,
nothing there.
Yeah, you got arthritis and bone on bone, and you can't play as well. John, who do you think won this poll for more likely to be traded if they draft a guard?
Man, I have no idea. Springer, I guess?
Our choices are Maxey or McCain.
Oh, okay, McCain.
With Jaden Springer?
Yeah, I'm wondering. He wasn't a choice.
Mo Cheeks.
Why did you say Dana Barros?
Yes!
Oh my God.
Can it be someone not on our team that we can
get rid
of?
All right, so McCain wins the poll 63%. I have no feel for this one. Maxey and McCain represent two very different things on the trade market because of their salaries. Not so much because of their skill. Maxey makes a ton. McCain makes almost nothing. So
Maxey's maxed, right? Well,
Maxey's got a max for his age.
What a difference.
Yeah. And McCain's entering year two of a rookie deal.
What a huge difference. I'm looking at them. I'm viewing them as almost comparable if he can come back and be healthy enough with the...
Look, it's possible McCain's viewed as a more valuable player in a trade. It's possible because his salary's so low. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
Hey, reminder to watch our show on YouTube when you can. Show on YouTube all 5 days of the week. So we broadcast on draft day. No time's yours this segment. We want to prioritize some other calls and content. When we do time's yours, always brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. All right, let me give you a little write-up here. There's really four players that, unless the Sixers trade like way down, there's really four players that it is believed they are choosing between for pick three. And those four players are Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, Trey Johnson, and Con Knipple. I'm going to give you just a quick little synopsis as ESPN presents on each player, just so you're really informed for tonight. Draft is now in 10 and a half hours. So here's the ESPN write-up on Ace Bailey, and I won't read it all, but I'm just going to give you strengths and weaknesses for each player as ESPN surmises it. Strengths for Ace Bailey, who, by the way, is a 6'7" guy from Rutgers, says Bailey is a dynamic shot maker with great size. He can score from all over the floor, and he puts points on the board in bunches when he finds an offensive rhythm. He also brings a high level of intensity defensively while making an impact in transition with his strong physical tools. Sounds good. I mean, that stuff sounds good. Weaknesses. His tendency to lean on tough shots has hurt his efficiency this season, as his decision-making, ball-handling ability, passing, and off-ball defense are still in the early stages of development.
And he's the only U.S. player to not have worked out for any team.
Correct. Correct. So, all right, there you go with Ace Bailey. VJ Edgecombe. And by the way, the ESPN ranks Bailey as the third-ranked player. But
quick question before we move on from Ace. Does it make you feel better about him not working out with the Sixers, the fact that he didn't work out with anybody?
Yes.
Me too.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, VJ Edgecombe, who ESPN has the Sixers picking, for what it's worth. And a lot of people think that's who the Sixers will get at three. So, shooting guard from Baylor, 6'4". Here's what they say for his strengths. Edgecombe is the most explosive athlete in the draft. He complements his considerable upside as a playmaker defensively with an evolving perimeter skill level and feel for the game. His weaknesses. They write, how Edgecombe operates on and off the ball at Baylor, his ball handling, ability to play with pace and make shots off the dribble are still a work in progress. All right. Make of it what you will. Trey Johnson, he's another to consider. Shooting guard from Texas. Some people think they're just going to swoop in and get him or trade down to get him. He's maybe you can get him at 5'6", 7" kind of guy. All right. Trey Johnson, he's 6'4". He's from Texas. He's almost 6'5". Strengths. Johnson's a dynamic shot maker. He puts relentless pressure on opposing defenses as a freshman at Temple with his insatiable hunger for putting the ball in
Texas.
The basket.
Ooh. You said Temple.
Definitely not Texas.
I was like, bro.
I was like, what did I miss last season?
Eddie Jones and Aaron McKay are back at Temple. You know what I mean? Mark Macon.
Boo Harvey.
You know? Yes. McGonagall Hall is rocking again. All right, I'm sorry. Trey Johnson at Texas. All right, weaknesses. He's still figuring out how to score efficiently inside the arc, leaning heavily on his ability to make tough shots while looking unengaged at times defensively. That's always scary. It raises questions about how he impacts winning on nights that his jump shot is not falling. Okay? I can't stand guys that don't try much defensively. That's irritating. And then finally, Con Knipple. Again, like Johnson, more in the probably if they trade down to 5'6", 7". Con Knipple from Duke. 6'5", it says strengths. Knipple is an outstanding shooter with an excellent feel for the game as a passer.
He's taller than 6'5", Joe.
Okay. It's what it says. As a passer and as a defender, which gives him a high floor as a plug-and-play wing.
He can do it all, and he can step right in and give you a chance. That's assuming Joel and Paul decide they want to try.
He'll be 20 when the season starts. So he's the guy of these four that would be the oldest if you want to chase a best you can be next year. Weaknesses for him, it says, with an average combination of length and explosiveness, there are question marks surrounding how his shot creation, finishing, and one-on-one defensive prowess will translate against better competition. Put another way, hopefully.
But when Cooper Flagg went down and Duke needed someone to step up and take over in the ACC tournament, he was awesome.
Yeah, he played well in that game. I know. So he better be better than Kyle Korver. And I like Kyle Korver, but sometimes I hear this and I think, is he just Kyle Korver? And listen, God bless Kyle Korver. He's a good second round pick, but you want more, you know, you want more oomph. All right, phone calls. Let's get it rocking here. Jordan right now in Princeton. Jordan, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Philadelphia and Morning Show. It's actually Jordan live from the Atlantic City Boardwalk on a 91-degree day this morning.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm 10 miles into a half marathon today, so I stopped to take the call. If I'm breathing a little heavy, I apologize. But, 45 miles up here, and I might stop by and see you guys at the Borgata on Friday. I'm thinking about taking a jog all the way around the inlets of the Borgata.
So nice.
You just run everywhere, Jordan?
If I didn't, John, I would get real fat because of my insatiable love of food.
How far do you run, like, on an average day?
On a day like today, it looks like speed walking. On a day where it's slightly cooler, I look like the worst Olympian ever.
Wow. So how far do you think you go? Like, in how many steps are you going to take every day this week?
So Monday I did 23 miles. It was about 40,000 steps. And yesterday I did 21. It's about 37,000.
That's incredible, man. Good
I've never heard anything like that. That's amazing.
That's impressive.
Don't your knees
the
hurt?
The more I call, everything hurts. But I'm 41 years old, so it's just part of the course at this point.
Wow.
What do you got on the sports scene, Jordan?
I got to say, Ben Davis, congratulations to your son. The interview where you got choked up and held it together as a father of two boys, Ben, that was a really, really beautiful moment. And I just want to congratulate you on raising a fine young man. And, you know, for all of us getting to see what it's like, because my kids are not going to be in the College World Series. I love them to death, but they're going to excel in other areas. But, Ben, that was a really beautiful moment.
Thank you very much, Jordan. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I was at dinner with my 11-year-old, and I was talking about some things that made me proud that he's done, and I started to tear up, and he says, Dad, you only cry at the good stuff. And I'm like, yeah, kid, that's how it should be. That's how you want it in life, right? You want to cry at the good stuff.
No doubt. No doubt.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So I'm a free man for a month. My kids are at overnight camp, and I'm just here at the shore with my wife and...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Last night, she wants to go out to dinner. I said, you know, honey, the Phillies were off yesterday. It's an 8 o'clock game. Let me make some dinner at home tonight. We'll sit down. We'll watch a really good Phillies game. And needless to say, my night didn't go the way I was hoping it would.
Well, you know what the crazy thing is? Because I hear the sarcasm in your voice. That start by Ranger, probably a top five start they've had all season. I mean, he was so amazing in that game. And to blow that game is really... really disappointing and frustrating.
I mean, that's why you want to throw the remote control at the television, not even at the last out, but just at the bottom of the lineup and the ineptitude there. And, you know, when I checked the lineup card last night, I'm wondering why we even put some of these guys out. I mean, we just came off a Monday rest day. You know, I find myself super concerned with what they're saying for Harper right now. It feels very much like the Embiid situation. There's a problem. We're trying to fix it. We've got no time frame. We can't give you any specifics. And, you know, we can't win games with this lineup. You want to do it one every 20, that's fine. But, you know, this guy's got to start getting back. And Dombrowski is on this worldwide media tour talking out of both sides of his mouth about players on the injured list. And I don't know what to believe from this guy anymore. So
it is, I agree with that. Even some of the stuff in the update, like maybe not that inclined to trade
that
for
was
a bat.
So, and just
but he may, that might be posturing and not seem desperate.
Well, also just the way he was talking about the window. Yeah, it's closing, but it's not closing. And like, he was like, we have a lot of young, good players. Like who?
In the minors, maybe. The
like what young, good players on the major league roster do we have outside of
Lizardo's
kind of young. Like,
yeah, I guess
later
Lizardo
in the
would
piece,
count.
He said that I mentioned Justin Crawford. We won't hesitate to bring him up. Okay.
Yeah.
Try it because what you're doing right now is terrible.
Yeah, it's brutal out there in center field. All right, Jordan, I need an answer. A great scene based on a real life location.
So the location is Tom's Restaurant on the Upper West Side of New York, featured as monks in Seinfeld. And the scene for me is the marine biologist where George picks the golf ball up and Kramer goes, "Is that a Titleist?"
All right, Jordan, you got
it's a great scene.
Is it a classic Seinfeld scene?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's a big one.
One of the most classic.
A big one.
That's why I'm asking. All right, Hassan and
Strawberry. Maybe watch Seinfeld and you can answer that question for yourself.
Maybe. Hassan and Strawberry Mansion. Yo, Hassan. Hassan, not ready to roll. Let me give you some Paul George audio because VJ Edgecombe is who it might be tonight. A lot of people think that is who the Sixers will draft. Paul George on his podcast yesterday. Talked about VJ Edgecombe. Let's listen to what he said.
I like VJ. I thought he showed tremendous upside in, you know, when he played with Bahamas. And it's almost funny because watching it, he stood out, but I didn't know the name. Like, I didn't know that was the player that went to Baylor and that's who, you know, the kid was. But watching him and they said how young he was, and I was like he's competing, you know, playing against, you know, top talent, and he's dunking on him. He's blowing by him. He was making impact. Like, he was an impactful player.
He's the one most people seem to think at this point the Sixers will draft. We shall see. We'll know in a few hours. Hassan and Strawberry Mansion. What's going on, Hassan?
Not much. Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, Hassan.
I got a little message for you, Maury. I hear this guy, he's good. He's 6'4 and all that. I don't need them. I've got Maxey. I've got McCain. Let's just stand pack with them. Build around them. Get me somebody that's 6'8", 6'9", that can match up down the line with your Pascal Siakam, possibly a Giannis.
So are you saying Ace Bailey because he's long, back, or are you saying make a trade?
No, I'm saying get somebody, Ace Bailey because he's long, or somebody similar. He's not the only 6'8 wing guard in the draft. Like, find me somebody like Jalen Williams, 6'8", do everything. He might went to San Diego State because his grades wasn't as good to get in Duke or somewhere. Like, get me somebody that can play the game of basketball.
Well, I like your idea conceptually. The problem is it has to be an actual guy, and if he's deemed not to be that good, that's a problem. Because I agree with you. I mean, conceptually, you're describing a fit that is better. But if the guard is perceived to be a better player for the next 10 years, then we got a problem here.
Perception, I don't really care about your perception, because their perception drafted Markelle Fultz number one.
Yeah, well, you know what, Hassan, I got to give this to Daryl Morey, because we've ripped him a lot, rightfully so, over the last 12 months or so. He's actually made some great picks. I mean, his first, I think, was Maxey. The last one that mattered was McCain. They got some guys in the second round last year. Like, we got to give Morey credit for how. I mean, McCain was a tremendous pick.
Was a tremendous pick. And I'm going to be one, to be honest, I didn't want him, but he was a great pick.
Yeah, it's the one thing he's done. It's the one thing he's done well.
Yeah.
Hassan, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we got to move fast. Now you can win the tickets for Bare Naked Ladies. Best scene, real life location in it. What do you got?
Independence Day, the White House getting blown up.
Interesting.
Classic.
Yeah.
With it not being real.
It's not as striking. It's not as stunning if it's not the White House.
It's
that really is a massive.
But it's not, right? Because it's not real. The White House didn't actually.
A lot of these things aren't real.
King Kong was
a shoot all this. Yeah, King Kong on the Empire State Building. Really, dude?
Do you think he was on there?
Giant.
Okay.
You know, it was a little model that they used in 1933 or whatever.
Again, I'm going to reference Derek from earlier. You make everything more complicated.
Yes. Like, what are you talking about?
King Kong really happened?
All right. Well, we got to come up with a winning.
No, Godzilla did.
Sorry. All right, winning answer. I got six written down here as real possibility. Statue of Liberty, Planet of the Apes. Rocky won the steps when he runs up there the second time on Rocky 1.
That's so huge.
Huge. Streets of Chicago, Ferris Bueller, the parade. The Rock and Alcatraz, pretty good answer, but not quite the best scene. Got to say, it's not the best scene. King Kong, Empire State Building. You guys love the Seinfeld answer, so consider it as you will, Independence Day with the White House. I'm thinking Rocky. I'm thinking Statue of Liberty in Planet of the Apes. I'm thinking Chicago with Ferris Bueller. And I'm thinking King Kong.
I think it's Rocky or Planet of the Apes.
I like King Kong. No? Okay.
Right. Yeah, oh, no, King Kong. King Kong's up there
all
for
right,
sure.
I got one like for that. King Kong from Devin. Ben, what do you got?
I'm going King Kong.
Two for King Kong. Seltzer?
I'm really torn on this. I think King Kong is great, but I'm going Rocky.
Rocky steps for me.
All right, that's 2-2. So let's know.
Rocky.
3-2. I'm going Rocky over the top. Congratulations, Derek. You have won the tickets to see Bare Naked Ladies. All great answers, but I mean, come on. I mean, Rocky steps, how do you beat it? Everyone have a great rest of the day. Look, enjoy the draft. Hopefully we do. Enjoy the draft tonight. We'll see if it's a kid in a pick or more of an adult in a trade. I don't know. We'll see. Plus the Phillies later today. All that and more we'll cover tomorrow. Plus what Dombrowski said in this interview. We'll get to it all up ahead tomorrow.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.